If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
This morning I said the theme was, you've been here long enough in financial dilemma. And I showed from the Word of God the principles that God gave you in order for you to be financially secure. We are in poverty because we choose to be. We are broke because we violate the Word of God. And I showed those scriptures out of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. So I can't go over it now. You buy the CD because it's going to shock you. And when you start doing what God told you to do, see, here's the thing. As a child, my mother would make dinner. And I came up during that time when Mama made dinner, there was no menu. I never heard "what do you want" until I got a little older and went to the store. I never heard that. I never heard "it's time for breakfast, what would you like?" Here's what I did here. You sit here and eat this, and there were the times when I said, "I don't want it." My brother would eat it, and she said, "Oh, fine," and you just go hungry. And there was no questioning the menu. "Oh, well, I have to have this poached. I can't have scrambled eggs." Now, what that taught us was to be appreciative for what was put on our plates. So the generation before us now has no appreciation because the parents, in order to win the favor of their children, they have made their children their friend. And you can't be a parent and a friend. And so what happens is we establish relationships that God cannot support. So when we go in prayer and we say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, touch my child's heart." And God says, "Absolutely not. I told you to be a parent. This is the consequence of not parenting." Do you remember when you let your child stay home from church when they were little? Well, they didn't feel like going. There you go. See, now that's why they don't want to go when they're older. I said, raise them up in the way they should go, not in the way that was convenient for them. We have no consequences, no rules. We have no boundaries. And then we say, "God, touch my child." And God says, "Absolutely not. I can't touch your child. There's no boundaries. The child's living in your house, right? Living in your house and come in at 6 o'clock in the morning." And you say, "Well, you're grown. You're living in my house. I don't come in at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I got a job." In John's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you," in verse 7, "I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." I love this. Do you know the only people that hear Jesus' voice are his sheep? The reason you're sitting in here right now, even if you're not born again yet, is you're a sheep and you heard his voice. He said, everybody else, they didn't listen to. He said, "I'm the door, and by me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture." Now, that word pasture is two. It has two levels of understanding. Number one, it speaks to finding food, finding pasture. But the second part is that you find care. You find nurture. Hence, we have the word pastor, which is a derivative of pasture. Why? Because we feed the people like the pasture. And we care for them like the pastor. But God says through Jeremiah, "I'm going to give you pastors that are after my heart." Listen to what he says. The same thing Paul says in Ephesians, who will feed you with what? Understanding. In other words, they will teach you the principles that you need to master your life. We're not like the evangelists. The evangelists preach you happy, get you up on your feet and boogaloo. But we're the general practitioners. We're the ones that say your cholesterol's high, your blood pressure's high, and this is what you need to do if you want to bring it down. Nobody likes them because they're the ones that tell you what's wrong. And that's what pastors are. Pastors and pastors, they say to you, "This is wrong." It's not encouraging to hear something's wrong. It's time for a change. I go to the doctors, I just had my first visit this year. I tried to get everybody in between January and March. And my first one said, "You're fine. Everything's good. I'll see you next year." They all ask me the same question at some point in my evolution. They'll say, why did you do so-and-so? I said, "Because you told me to do it." And they look at me. I said, "Why do you think I come to you if I'm not going to do what you tell me to do? Why do you come to church if you're not going to do what God says to do?" "Well, I just don't like you telling me." Well, now that's something different. Listen to this. "The thief cometh not." It's that Elizabethan language. "The only reason the thief comes is to steal, to kill, and destroy." Now listen, I said this morning, that Jesus is very ambiguous in his teaching. He often gives you a subject, but not an object. And if he gives you an object, he ignores the subject. And he leaves you to dig through the scripture to try to understand what he's saying. He says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy." But there's no definite object with this subject. To kill what, to steal what, and to destroy what. That leaves us to speculate and put in any noun that we want to with these verbs. "He's come to steal my joy." No, he did not come to steal your joy. Your joy is not predicated, if it's real biblical joy, it's not predicated on the accumulation of things. Biblical joy is the result of connection with God. Religion is man's search for God. Christianity is when God finds you. Therefore, the joy that comes from that cannot be abrogated, cannot be removed, cannot be circumvented by either the accumulation of stuff or the loss of stuff, because it comes from the connection. That's why the Bible never tells you to be happy, because happiness is a place you visit. It is the result of situational ethics. Things that happen in your life, good things happening, creates happiness. But joy comes regardless of what condition has overwhelmed you. Joy is dependent upon your connection to the joy giver. The Bible is clear. It is the joy of the Lord that will be your strength. Are you with me? Therefore, I submit to you that if you are unhappy, change your circumstances. For happiness is not a spiritual derivative. Happiness is the result of happy things. So if you are unhappy, get around some happy people. Do some happy stuff. When I'm depressed or overwhelmed by people, I go to Best Buy. There's a brother at the Best Buy that I go to. He's a born-again believer. He sees me come in. He says, "Pastor, things are pretty rough up at the church, huh?" He said, "It's the third time you've been in here this week." He said, "Go on, walk around." He knows I'm not going to buy nothing. I'm just walking around, and it creates a happy environment. See, you have to leave the negative, painful situation and go to someplace happy. When the camp is in session, you see the happy children. Walk around happy children. Children can lift your spirit. So listen to what Jesus said. So the thief isn't coming to steal your joy. No. Jesus leaves this ambiguous intentionally. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Here's what he's doing. He's giving you the general operating principles of the kingdom of darkness. That's all the devil comes to do, is steal. Anything you leave uncovered, he'll steal it. There are people that just steal. They'll steal the morning, noon, and night. They'll steal the rain if they could. Folks will come and steal your snow. They steal just to steal. They steal time from their employers. They steal ink pens from their job. They'll take breaks that they're not entitled to. They steal just to steal. That's the devil. Just a born kleptomaniac. He'll steal whatever you leave unguarded. But I'm going to tell you right now what he's out to steal. He is not after your joy. He is not after your peace. He is not after your walk with God. He is after your mind. If he can steal your mind, the rest will fall like a house of cards. He'll sit on your shoulder and imitate God and try to whisper in your ear and sound like the Holy Spirit. And if your mind is not guarded, if your mind is not kept by the Holy Spirit, you will think it's God when it's really the devil. And the way to tell the difference is not by verbal intonation. It is not by inflection of the sound, but it is by the legitimacy of the scripture. If it violates scriptural teaching, it is not of God. Jesus said he has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. He's after your mind. Tell your neighbor, he's after your mind. There is more mental illness in this country today than at any time in the history of our country. And what's frightening is that there is mental illness in the church. And as a race of people, we do not succumb nor submit to therapy. And as Pentecostal believers, we refuse to get mental health. And it continues, it becomes exacerbated because the devil is stealing our mind. And Jesus said that's why he came, to steal your mind, to kill your thought life, and destroy your ability to think spiritually. But then Jesus says, but I'm come to give you a life that you can enjoy. Now, think about the tie-in here. You cannot have the abundant life if your thought process is all messed up. If you think that God is against you, you will never live the abundant life. But what I've learned to do is to process that God has sent whatever's in my life, God sent it. And like Joseph, I'm going to wait till it plays out. The phrase is going through. It's not stopping in the middle and complaining. I'm going through something. But guess what, brothers and sisters? I'm going through it. That means I'm coming out of it. In my mind, I refuse to succumb to stopping and becoming a victim. Negative things, many dangers come into my life. Many situations unfold that are negative. But I have a positive God who promised me that the light affliction which is on me now is not worthy to be compared to what's going to come out.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1118P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.